ओम शांति। ऑल आर फर्स्ट टाइमर्स, यस। इफ समवन वर टू आस्क यू, हैव यू सीन गॉड, व्हाट वुड यू आंसर? People do ask this question, no? Have you seen God? If someone asked you, what would you answer? Yes? What will you answer? Have you seen God? Yes? Give an answer. Yes? Yeah? You will say you have seen God. Okay? Very good. Any other answer? Pardon? No. You haven't seen God. Okay? So those who say no, raise their hand. Those who say yes, raise their hand. So those who have seen are more than those who have not seen. Or those who say that they have not seen. So actually the answer should be, I have not only seen God, but I have also met God. I have spoken to God, and God has spoken to me. I have experienced God. I know God very well. Can you say, give this answer with that courage and intoxication? Can you? No? Yes? Yes? Those who can give this answer with that intoxication, raise their hand. Yeah. Those who have said that no, they have not seen God are right in a way. Because you can't see God with these physical eyes anyway. Because God is not physical. These physical eyes can see only the physical things. And that also not everything. Even if there are physical things, not that all can be seen with these physical eyes. You may need a microscope, you may need a telescope, or sometimes even with those gadgets you can't see. They're so micro, tiny. You can't see with any gadget. Or they're so far away. You can't see them with any telescope also. And also energy you can't see. Sound energy. Can you see these sound waves? They are coming from my lips and going through this microphone and through the amplifier, going through all the speakers and then coming to your ears. Can you see it? You can't see it. You can only hear it. So, if somebody asks you, have you seen God? So physically, of course, the answer would be, you would give, you can't see God anyway. Because God can't be seen with these physical eyes. But yes, God can be experienced. God can be thought of, remembered, felt. And God does come in a physical form to meet His children. And He talks to His children, blesses His children. It is His promise that I descend at the time of the decay of religiousness and righteousness, and I come to destroy irreligiousness and unrighteousness. God has a very big task to do, and for that He descends. And just as we are in a human form now, souls in a human form, God has to descend in a human form to meet His children. And we say with that faith that the medium of the Supreme Being is Brahma Baba, through whom God has revealed His own introduction. So Baba says, now the time has come to tell the world that God has come. But in an incognito way, and is establishing a new world. So when you tell this, people will be not only amazed, but they'll be surprised, they'll have questions, and then you can tell them. And if you tell them, then they may say, why in his body? It can be anybody else's body. Then Baba says that the same question will arise if it would be in any other body. So Baba tells all that in the Murlis. But then, very often, you know, people have many such questions. They understand that, yes, it's time for God to descend, and they understand who God is. First of all, they have to understand who God is. And when you explain to them the knowledge of God, the introduction of God, all about name, form, qualities, abode, acts, all that, and then you tell them that he descends in the body of Brahma, then many people question, but this man was a family man. And if God were to descend, he's so pure. He could descend in a pure body. But as Baba has said, that pure body is not available at this time at the end of Iron Age. It's only an impure body, all our impure bodies. Then somebody may say that he could descend in a saint, you know, a saint or a sage, or a sannyasi, or a small child, because they are pure. But then you can say that, well, God, the purpose of God's descent is to establish pure family life. In order to establish pure family life, a family man is needed. The one who has the experience of family life. There's a very interesting story about Shankaracharya, the founder of the sannyas religion. The story goes that once he had a debate, you know, with a big scholar. And that scholar asked him, you are a sannyasi, and you are giving knowledge to family men. But you are a sannyasi and you don't have any experience of family life. How can you give knowledge to family men, to householders? The one who hasn't had experience of what family life is, how can that one give knowledge to family people or householders? So there's a story, I don't know how far it is true, but then it is said that Adi Shankaracharya, the founder of the sannyas religion, he had that power, and what he did, the soul came out of his body, and he told his disciples beforehand that keep my body intact and I will come back after 3 days. So the soul left the body, and at that time a king had died, you know, a king. And that king died, his whole family and everybody in the kingdom were crying, and all of a sudden the king woke up. He became alive. Actually, the king had died, but that Adi Shankaracharya's soul entered the king's body, and that king became alive. And actually the aim was that he wanted to experience family life. So, when that king became alive, but the sanskars were different. The sanskars were of a sannyasi, not of a king, as his previous sanskars must have been. So everybody felt very strange that he doesn't seem to have the same sanskars of a king. But then the aim of that Shankaracharya was just to experience family life. Maybe to know how the kingdom is ruled, how a family is. Maybe have a wife, have children, and so on. And after 3 days, he left the body and went back to his own body. But that's, I don't know how far it could be possible. But then they say, and they say that he experienced what family life was, and he could debate again with that scholar. But Baba says that it's not that, you know, many people tell us, how can you give knowledge to family people? You don't have any experience. We are unmarried. We don't have any family. We have surrendered from our childhood. But then we tell them that if you want experience, experience is not just by doing something. Experience could come from different forms. Experience could come on the basis of what you read, what you hear from people, what you see, not just what you do. So experience comes in different ways. And also, as Baba says, that the soul has experience of 84 births anyway, the sanskars of 84 births. And therefore it doesn't mean that we have to go into family life to experience family life and then we can give knowledge to family people. So that answer is different, but then God descended in a family man because God wanted to establish a pure family life. Golden age is pure family life. It's not only a kingdom, it's also a family there. And therefore, Brahma Baba was the accurate medium through whom God could establish pure family life. Then somebody may question, well, if God has to come and serve the world, but Brahma Baba did not have that much money, he wasn't a multi-millionaire. He was rich, but not that rich to own millions and millions. So Baba says even that is not necessary. Why? Because each one's penny has to be used in the task of establishment of golden age. Today if God would come in the body of Bill Gates, for example, one of the richest men in the world, maybe. Baba's service could spread so fast, everything very fast. But that's not to be. Each one single penny has to be used in a worthwhile way for the establishment of golden age. Then somebody may question, well, if God could come in the body of George Bush, the president of America, his one voice, one word would be known in the whole world. There wouldn't be any need to, serve slowly to individuals like that. But Baba says even that is not to happen. Because whatever each one does on the basis of that, one reaps. So each one's effort is necessary. It's like five fingers are needed to hold something. Each one's finger is needed to lift a mountain. One person's work won't help. So, Baba tells us why in this one's body, for different reasons. One very important reason Baba gives is that this one is the first soul. The first one becomes number last. The soul who has taken complete 84 births. And he was a worshipper of the first deity soul. Just imagine. Baba was a worshipper of Vishnu, of Narayan, of Krishna. So worship-worthy becomes the worshipper and starts worshipping his own worship-worthy form. So this is what Baba was. But he did not know about his births. And Shiv Baba entered in his body and started and gave his introduction and thereby made him to remember the Supreme. Because Brahma Baba didn't know that Shiva was God. He was a devotee of Vishnu. So for him it was Vishnu who was God. Krishna was God, not Shiva. But Shiva Baba was very clever. at the first vision which Baba gave to Brahma Baba was not that of Shiv Baba. Had Shiv Baba given him the vision of Shiva at the beginning of light, Baba would have never been attracted, you know, because he was not a devotee of Shiva. And in the drama it was to happen in that way, because the worship-worthy becomes the worshipper and worships his own form, and therefore Baba was the devotee of Vishnu. So the first vision which Baba got was the vision of Vishnu. That was the starting point. And Baba felt that he had the vision of his God. He did not know that this was his perfect form, or he would be that. But that vision which he got gave him the blessing that you are the same as me. But what he thought, that God has given me the vision and the blessing that you are the same as me, that means I am God. That was the consciousness at that time. I am God, you are God, we are all God. The knowledge wasn't clear at all. And what pulled all souls, you know, all those souls at that time towards Baba, was the visions, not the knowledge. Because even if the knowledge would have been given, it would not have been understood to that extent. But the visions pulled everyone to Baba. And how Baba became the medium for Shiv Baba. There was an instance that even Baba did not know that he was a medium of Shiv Baba. He did not know. He used to wonder, who is speaking through this body? Who is speaking? Because Baba also loved to read the Gita, and he used to recite the Gita, you know, chant the Gita or speak the Gita in front of his family, in front of his friends and relatives, and tell all about the versions in the Gita. He used to do that before also. But then when Shiv Baba descended in his body and started speaking, he used to wonder, who spoke? I didn't, it wasn't me. Because when Baba started the yajna at that time, so many were attracted towards Baba, not just his family members, not just his neighbors, not just his friends, even strangers, because they used to get visions sitting at home of Krishna and Brahma Baba, and Krishna telling them, if you want to meet me, go to this man. So even strangers started coming with Baba, whom Baba did not know at all. And Baba felt, well, now my satsang, my spiritual gathering is growing. So he got some 500 Gitas, you know, the book scriptures from some press in India and Gorakhpur in UP. And he said that more people are coming and I'll distribute these Gita books to each one, and then we can recite the hymns or the verses in the Gita. And as the Gita book would be distributed and Baba would just sit to start, the book would remain closed and Shiv Baba would come and start speaking. This was a real wonder. So at that time, how the yajna started, in which three revolutionary acts happened, three revolutionary acts, which have never happened at the beginning of any other organization in the whole world. The first revolutionary act was the visions part. Everyone in the yajna who came to, when he could, to drishti from Baba, he looked at Baba or Baba looked at him, he went into trance and got experience of heaven, golden age, Krishna, and would start, you know, dancing with Krishna, would be in a different world. So it was a revolutionary act. And the second revolutionary act was that Baba, God put the sisters in the front. Before that, no one, no other organization, spiritual organization in particular, had women in the front. Women were not given any chance in the society for any work. And here God started that work through Brahma Baba. And the third revolutionary act was that as Shiv Baba would start speaking from the mouth of Brahma Baba, he would say, "Children, now you have to lead a pure life. Because a deity religion is being established. And for the establishment of any religion, purity is a must. All the prophet souls who came in this world, they led a pure life. Only then they could establish their religion. Because purity is the foundation of any religion." So Shiv Baba comes and establishes the deity religion. He also establishes a kingdom. For other religions, Baba says, the kingdom is not established at the time of the establishment of religion. The kingdom comes much later, you know, their rulers come much later when there is a lot of population of that religion. And the third thing which Baba came and established was pure family life. Nowhere in the history is there any mention of pure family life otherwise. Either it is an impure family life or a stage of a sannyasi, a recluse, a hermit. Not living together, husband and wife, and leading a pure life. It has never been in any history. So we can understand that God started these three revolutionary acts, and the result was that God established three things at the same time. A kingdom is being established now, and Baba keeps telling us that, children, the 8 world emperors, the 108, the 16,108, the sovereigns, and, you know, Baba talks about kingdom, about the rulers, about the subjects, about the servants. Nowhere else in any spiritual organization such a thing is mentioned. So Baba establishing a kingdom. Secondly, how is the kingdom established? We will see. The second thing Baba is establishing is a religion. So how is the religion established? The deity religion which has gone into oblivion, Baba says. Oblivion means the memorials are there of the deities, but the religion is no longer existing. And Baba is establishing that once again. So a kingdom, a religion, and thirdly a family. The golden aged and silver aged family scattered all over the world when Copper Age began. Before it was all like one knit family. You know, Lakshmi Narayan are the corporeal forms of Vishnu, and Vishnu is called sustainer. So the sovereigns there were like the mother and father of the subjects. Even till today, a king is like a parent, you know. The king and queen are like the parents of the subjects. So golden age, they were truly like parents for their subjects. And therefore we say the pure family life is being established, that family of golden age and silver age scattered all over the world, got converted into so many different religions, and now they are coming back. Now what is needed to establish a religion? What is needed to establish a kingdom? What is needed to establish a family? To establish a religion, there is need of purity. You know, many people tell us, your knowledge is so good, it's wonderful knowledge, you talk such wonderful things, it's beautiful. But then when you say that we have to lead a pure life, a celibate life, this is very difficult. This is too much. Otherwise everything is very good. We say, well, this is the foundation. Purity is the foundation of peace and happiness. It's the personality of purity which is the foundation of such a huge, you know, world of golden age. And that is why they are worthy of worship. So purity is the foundation of religion. Secondly, the foundation of a kingdom. It is the disciplines. Baba says this is called Brahmin culture. Brahmin culture will be the original culture of the world, the true culture of the world, the golden age and silver age culture will depends also on the Brahmin culture. So no longer this culture, that culture, but is Brahmin culture the foundation of the true original culture of the world. Because God is establishing that original kingdom once again. So all the disciplines Baba gives us from morning till night, that is the Brahmin culture. And these disciplines will enable us to establish a kingdom. You know, when a kingdom is established, it's like a constitution is needed first. For any type of rule to be established, a constitution is needed. The laws, the bylaws, you know, and the acts and whatnot, the articles, all that comes in the different laws. And according to the constitution, the government is ruled. The government rules. And if someone goes against that, it becomes a crime. So Baba has also given us all the laws and the bylaws and the articles and, you know, whatever is in the constitution. All the disciplines, the principles from morning till night, for every action, for every word, for every thought, what we should do. So this way a kingdom is being established. On the basis of that, the kings, the subjects, the servants, you know, all will be created. And then for family, pure family life, what is needed? Yes? For a religion, purity, for kingdom, disciplines, maryadas, Baba says, and for family. Yes? Pardon? Yoga. For family, what is needed? Because that original family has scattered all over the world, and for that same family to come back, what is needed to bring that family back? Yes? Soul conscious and God conscious attitude. That we are all souls and children of one Father. What we say as this world is a family because we are children of one Father, Supreme Father, and God is like a magnet. And we are like the needles being pulled towards that magnet. So we have come together because Baba is with us and He is the Father of all the souls. Irrespective of any religion, caste, creed, sect, color, nationality, whatever. Because the Father is one. And we are all souls. Physically we are all different, but spiritually we are all alike. Children of one Supreme Father. So this consciousness brings us together. And now we proudly say that we have three fathers. One is the bodily father, the second is the spiritual father, but at this time Brahma Baba becomes our divine father, through whom God is establishing that new kingdom, the new rule, the new family, the new religion, and we all belong to Brahma Baba too as His children, and therefore we are Brahma Kumars and Brahma Kumaris. You know, many people tell us, you are Brahma Kumars and Kumari. We tell them, even you are Brahma Kumar, Kumari, but you don't know. Because everyone is a child of Brahma. Just as everyone is a child of God, similarly, every human being is a child of Brahma also, because Brahma is the first the creator of humanity. God is the supreme, but Brahma is the creator. Then some people say, why you name him Brahma? We say that we haven't named him Brahma, but Shiv Baba gave him this name Brahma. because he made him instrumental to establish the new world. And we know that how Baba became the first soul to have attained perfection. Up to now, no other soul in the world has ever attained perfection. Because all other souls, after leaving the body, have taken rebirth. Even Mama has taken rebirth. All our senior dadis who have left bodies, they've all taken rebirth. But Brahma Baba has not taken rebirth. And Brahma Baba's soul is in the subtle regions, in the angelic body, waiting for us to return to the soul world. The soul world's gates haven't opened. The entry to the soul world is still closed. Exit, this door is open. Because from there the souls are still descending. The population in this world is growing and growing and growing. And Baba has said, when the last soul will descend from the soul world, the first soul will reach. So neither Paramdham becomes empty any time, nor this physical world becomes empty any time. But now the souls are descending. No one is going back. And even Brahma Baba hasn't gone back to the soul world. So the Supreme Father and the chariot is Brahma Baba. In a subtle form now, they descend in the body of Dadi Gulzar. When Brahma Baba left the body, nobody really knew what would happen. Nobody got that, you know, any thought. It was all of a sudden. Of course, it did happen that many trans messengers, because this yajna had so many trans messengers in the beginning also of the yajna, for the 14 years, the sisters used to go into trance and get many, many experiences. And whatever they would experience, they would come down and share that with everybody and then, you know, do some dramas or sketches or plays on the basis of those visions they used to get. Different types of visions of golden age, of destruction, of Dharamrajpuri, you know, anything. They used to do plays on the basis of that. And that's how the 14 years passed, because they lived in total isolation from the world. And how during those 14 years, the whole world, you know, geography changed. The map changed. The Second World War took place from 1939 to 45. India and Pakistan became separate. There were so many natural calamities during those 14 years. From 1937 to 1950, the 14 years, the yajna remained intact in Karachi, totally isolated from the whole world. Because during those 14 years, God prepared these souls to face the world and give the message to the world. So in those 14 years, so much happened. But when they surrendered to Baba, it did not seem at all that such things would happen. And therefore, visions were instrumental at making the soul surrender to Baba, because in reality, all that wasn't there, whatever Baba would say. But now, visions are not necessary. Many people question that, why don't we get visions now? As the sisters got at the beginning of the yajna, we said they are not necessary because we are seeing them in a practical way, practically. Destruction is round the corner. I don't know if you heard the very big news today that Saddam Hussein, you know, the the former ruler of Iraq, he was hanged today. It has become such a big news all over the world today. And now there's so much commotion going on in the world, you know, big news today. This morning he was hanged. And people all over the world are demonstrating and, you know what will happen. So as Baba said, time of destruction, people's intellect go astray from God and it's a sign. So he was ready, he said, I am sacrificing myself for my country, for Islam. That's what he said before going, you know, he went to be hanged on the gallows. And he can become a hero. You never know, you know. Anything can happen. So it's the beginning of the end. So, but at that time, in 1937, all this was not there. Things didn't seem as they are today. But now it's all practical. At that time, even nobody knew about the nuclear bomb. Nobody knew about atom bomb. In 1936-37, the first baby bomb was thrown over Hiroshima, Nagasaki in 45. So in 1936, it was totally alien, all these things what we are seeing today. But now everything is in a practical form. So we don't need visions to experience all this. We are seeing that in a practical form. But had it not been for the yajna to be established and the 14 years in the isolation, we would never have such a big organization today. So Baba did, in time, of course Baba said everything is very accurate according to the drama. And Brahma Baba had full faith that God is doing His task. I am only an instrument. And Shiv Baba did His work. And when Baba left the body, it was very interesting to see that how Brahma Baba finished all His karmic accounts. I very often say that on one hand, Shiv Baba invoked him, come child, come, become my constant companion. On the other hand, his angelic form invoked him, come, come, become me. And on the third hand, his final karmic accounts got settled. And on the fourth hand, is how he invoked Dadiji and she stood in front of him and he willed all his powers to her without saying a word. And he finished off all his karmic accounts. And we say that for the, you know, 1969 January until 2007, 18 January, it will be 37 years. We are going to celebrate on 18 January the 38th day of ascend of Brahma Baba. 38th anniversary of the day of ascend of Brahma Baba to the subtle regions. And Brahma Baba was in the corporeal body for 33 years, from 1936 until 18 January 1969. And when Baba became avyakt, nobody knew how this organization would run. Baba had not mentioned anything. Baba only prepared us. And we could feel that Brahma Baba was becoming very, very detached, very detached. We would go in front of Baba and say something, and we used to feel that Baba is there and still not there. We had so many thoughts in our mind, Baba, I will tell this to Baba, that to Baba. You know, Baba was so sweet, so friendly, far like a father, like we meet the dadis. They're so friendly. But then, during the last 6 months, we could feel that Baba was there and not there, he was like, you know, very detached, like an angel. And the moment we would go in front of Baba, we would feel that he's not of this world. And all those things in the mind would just be forgotten, like evaporated, and nothing would be uttered from our lips on seeing Baba. We would just have one thought that, let me just watch Baba, let me just take drishti from Baba, and everything else wiped out from the head. That was the state of each one. Because Baba's stage was so high, and maybe the children's stage not that high. So how to speak to someone who's in such a high stage, you know, to speak such mundane things maybe. And therefore, we also would reach that high stage the moment we would come in front of Baba. And we could feel that Baba was making efforts to attain that perfect form. He had one strong sanskar which made him reach his perfect form so quickly. And that sanskar was, if something is to be done, it has to be done now. That was his sanskar. So Baba used to tell, child, do this, like Dadi Janki, you know, she's also having that strong sanskar. Do it now. She'll tell us, go and write this letter and come. And then she'll ask after 1 hour, did you write? Supposing I say, no, Dadi, I had no time, I'll do it in the afternoon. You haven't written yet, go write now. So whatever is to be done has to be done now. And this was Baba's sanskar also. So we are seeing Dadi Janki. She's also reaching that stage. You know, Dadi Janki was not well. And we had been telling her, no, Dadi, take rest, take rest. Even this morning she wasn't well. But she said, no, I must meet the double foreigners. Because tomorrow I'm going down, tonight I'm going down, and then I might not come up, and therefore I want to meet. So we changed all the plans, and therefore Dadi Janki came. At down at Shantivan, over 15,000 people have arrived, already arrived, over 15,000. Then she said, I want to meet them also. Doctor said, but then you are still taking medicine and you should not go in front of thousands of people. The infection can be had. She said, no, 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 I want to meet everyone. Okay, Baba is with her, what can we do? But then we can see how these dadis, they want to just give and give and give. Because nothing is for themselves, it's all for everyone. And this was what we experienced from Brahma Baba too, during his final days. And so we are seeing that how the end is not far away. Seeing the crucial atmosphere in the world, there's so much tension everywhere. In America now, today, England, all over Europe, there's lots of tension. And all the reactions are coming, the different people giving their own views of what the future will hold now. So we have reached that stage which is very, very fragile in the world. Anything can happen any time. But Baba has already prepared us, hasn't Vahi? All of you are prepared? If destruction happens now and you are in Madhuban, are you ready to be here? Are you? Who are ready? All of you. Huh? Yes? All of you. Anyone who says, I'm not ready? Not ready? But Baba says, we have to be ever ready. Because anything can happen any time. Two things Baba says, anything will happen, it will happen suddenly. Suddenly. The word suddenly is there. This is like, you know, something to underline all the time. And the second is, whatever is to be done, do it now. Now or never. So remember these two things. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for another day because tomorrow never comes. That tomorrow changes into today, doesn't it? So let's see what Baba has to say to us. Tomorrow we will be celebrating New Year with Baba. You have made, I'm sure, many resolutions, and Baba will see that and maybe give his idea, his views, his comments on that too. But then we are very, very fortunate indeed to meet God in person. God won't come in a physical form because God never takes birth. He doesn't die. But God descends. And we say the original chariot or the medium of the Supreme is Brahma Baba. So Shiv Baba and the angelic form of Brahma Baba descend in the body of Dadi Gulzar. Dadi sits, bhog is offered, and she goes into trance, her eyes shut, and after some time, gradually the eyes open. We know that it's not Gulzar Dadi, it is Bap Dada. Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba in a combined form. And Bap Dada give drishti to all. You know, Gulzar Dadi got this blessing from Brahma Baba when she was young. Baba used to tell her that your eyes are going to do a lot of service. That's what Baba told her. So we are seeing how Bap Dada uses her drishti, her eyes to give drishti to all. So when Bap Dada come, we can feel the changes on the face instantly. The drishti is also very different. And when the microphone is placed, the voice is also very different. Someone asked Baba, why is it that the voice is so different? So Baba said, this is the whisper, the voice of the subtle regions. In the subtle regions, it's just whisper. It's not a big sound. So it's a whisper. Without the microphone, you can't hear anything of what Baba is saying unless you put your ears very close to Baba's voice, you know, Baba's lips. That's why the dadis have to put on headphones. Even with the microphone, it's not so easy because those far can hear. The speakers are not on the stage, so they need a headphone to listen to what Baba is saying. Because the voice is so soft as Baba comes from the subtle regions. Many question then, what happens to Dadi Gulzar? Actually, when she goes into trance, she visualizes the subtle regions. She sees Avyakt Bap Dada in front of her in the angelic form. And then how Baba makes her like go to sleep. She forgets everything of herself and her sanskars get merged. And then we in the physical world see the eyes opening and Bap Dada giving drishti and speaking while she is in a very, very like in a state of sleep, totally, detached stage. She doesn't have any awareness. 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours before, it used to be much more. I remember the one program of Baba, one meeting with Baba, where Bap Dada was in Gulzar Dadi's body for 16 hours. 16 hours sitting in one position. It was like 6:30 Gulzar Dadi came in the evening and sat on the stage and went into trance. Bap Dada came and Baba came and spoke first the Murli and then spoke to individuals, gave blessings to individuals and went on and on and on whole night. Up to next day, 10:30 in the morning. Can you imagine? 6:30 in the evening until 10:30 in the morning. 16 hours. And all of us, many of us must have gone to sleep also. We had our sleep, we had our dinner first, we slept, and then morning we had our tea and, bath and breakfast and everything. And Baba was still speaking to the children. So all records were broken. And those who stayed on whole night awake whilst Baba was in the hall, they by 10:30 must have become so tired. But then when Bap Dada left and Gulzar Dadi was back, she was so fresh. So fresh after 16 hours of speaking. She was so fresh. And we asked Dadi, "Dadi, you're so fresh." She said, "I don't know, I slept." She slept, So when somebody has deep sleeps and wakes up, he's so fresh, no? But those who tried to compete with Baba and they stayed awake whole night, what must their state have been, So because they were in the body. But Bap Dada used the body and left, and Gulzar Dadi's soul was very fresh. So the body must have been tired, but the face looked radiant because Bap Dada gave the strength and Dadi Gulzar was very fresh. Once Baba had a very, Dadi Gulzar had a very bad throat. She could not speak. Whole day she was coughing and coughing and coughing. So we told Dadi Gulzar that, "Dadi, your voice is not good, throat is not good. Today you tell Baba to speak a short murli because you're coughing a lot." And she just smiled. And let me tell you, that day was the longest murli and no coughing. Some people ask her, "Why does the coughing take place? Baba is there, why coughing?" Well, that's the physical body, this is something to do with the body. It's part of matter. Shiv Baba does his job, but this matter will do its own job, nature will do its own job. So that day was the longest murli, without any coughing. And when Gulzar Dadi came back, started coughing again. So once there was an instance where Dadi had fever, she had a very bad cough, and she wasn't well at all. But Baba had to come. There was no other alternative. So she surrendered to Baba. "Okay, Baba, this body is yours, not mine, whatever you want to do." And Baba came, but Baba spoke a short murli, and Baba said, "The musical instrument today is not working properly and therefore Baba will not make much use of it. Baba will take care of it." And Baba spoke a murli for just 10-15 minutes and left, because there was a group whom Baba had to meet. Because Baba does take care of the chariot too. But then the chariot belongs to Gulzar Dadi, and Gulzar Dadi surrenders her body to Baba. It's very interesting that Brahma Baba never missed the murli, and Gulzar Dadi never hears the murli directly. Never. But yes, Baba tells her everything. When Baba returns to the subtle regions, she wakes up, meets Baba, and Baba tells her, gives her the news. Or before she goes to Baba, Dadi is tell her everything, that this group is sitting, that group is sitting, they are going to meet Baba. These are the letters, the cards, and also Gulzar Dadi sees all that. And then she goes to Baba, gives the news, and then Baba speaks the murli. So you can understand that it is not Gulzar Dadi. Somebody once questioned, "But does Gulzar Dadi do any churning before Baba comes? Why should she do any churning? She's not giving the speech. She's not speaking the murli." You must have noticed Gulzar Dadi, her way of talking and Baba's way of talking is so different. Brahma Baba, the way he used to speak, We can see Avik Baba speaking like that, or Shiv Baba in the body of Brahma Baba. Baba, you know, Dadi Gulzar will never tell Dadi Janki as Janak. You know, Dadi Janki, with respect. But Bap Dada, when he comes, Janak child. Jagdish, where Gulzar Dadi has so much respect for Jagdish Bhai, she would say Jagdish Bhai. But when Bap Dada came, he would say Jagdish child. So the difference. Gulzar Dadi has different tastes. She doesn't like many fruits, you know. She doesn't like bananas. But Bap Dada loves bananas. You'll be surprised. When Baba is given a banana, he loves it. But if it was Gulzar Dadi, she would never take a banana. She doesn't like. So it's not Gulzar Dadi's sanskars working at that time when Baba comes. Many question that when Baba is being fed, who eats? Who eats? Does Gulzar Dadi eat? Or does Brahma Baba eat? Or does Shiv Baba eat? Who eats? Huh? Who eats? Yes? Who will answer? Brahma Baba eats. Who eats? This is also interesting. Actually, it goes in Gulzar Dadi's stomach anyway, no? Brahma Baba, Shiv Baba don't have a physical stomach. But then, at that time, Gulzar Dadi is not experiencing anything. She is in a state of deep sleep. Yes, and Brahma Baba, Shiv Baba takes the fragrance. Of course, the love which the children have expressed through that food or through the fruit or whatever. And Brahma Baba gets the taste, definitely. No? Shiv Baba experiences the love. I remember once there were so many fruits, so many types of mangoes. From South Africa they had come, from Brazil they had come, from Philippines they had come, you know, from many countries. There were different types of mangoes. So Dadi, she fed from each plate one mango, and she asked Baba, Baba, which is sweeter? Is this sweet or that sweet, you know? And Baba used to say, so we wondered, who said this? Did Shiv Baba say this or Brahma Baba say it? Definitely not Shiv Baba. At that time it was Brahma Baba. Not even Gulzar Dadi. But Brahma Baba, yes. Because Brahma Baba would always, you know, he loved to see who has brought what. You know, Baba used to see. Shiv Baba is detached from all these things. So goes in Gulzar Dadi's stomach, definitely. But it is Brahma Baba who feels the taste. Shiv Baba is beyond taste. But Shiv Baba gets the fragrance, the love, the feelings of the children and expresses accordingly. So this is very interesting that Shiv Baba and the perfect soul of Brahma taking a medium and meeting the children. The eyes work, the lips work, the ears work and the hands work. Sometimes the feet. Yes. Because especially on Shivratri day, Baba gets up. He comes to the flag, you know, to the end of the stage, and Baba hoists the flag. And then goes back to his seat. So then Baba uses the legs. Otherwise everything else, it belongs to Gulzar Dadi anyway. It's her chariot, her body. So it's very interesting, such a wonderful way of meeting the children. God comes to meet His children through a medium. Because we are in a physical form, and therefore God has to take a physical form in order to meet us. But that avyakt form becomes physical, angelic form becomes physical in order to make us angelic also. So you will be experiencing that tomorrow. The program will start quite late, maybe at 9 o'clock it might start. And then it will go on up to midnight. 12 o'clock, the 12 hours, you know, bell will ring, and then Baba will give New Year greetings, and then it will finish. So you might come back to Gyan Sarovar not later than, or not earlier than 1 o'clock, maybe 1, 1.30 you'll be back. So take good rest in the afternoon. Not that when Baba comes you feel sleepy. So take good rest in the afternoon that, so that you are wide awake at midnight. Okay? Tell your children also. The children who have come in the retreat or anyone, that they must take good sleep, good rest in the afternoon. To be a wide awake for midnight. I know most of you have this experience when you have midnight mass or New Year celebrations, even the Laukik way. You'll do at 12 o'clock, no? Well, for Baba, it's not a big thing. For Baba, everything is the same. But for the children, okay, New Year. It's the new calendar. It's midnight, 12 o'clock. Subtle regions, no midnight. No 12 o'clock, no New Year, nothing. It's the same. The calendar belongs to this physical world, not to subtle world or soul world. But Baba has to act according to this corporeal, physical world or old world. And therefore Baba acts like that. But he makes us go beyond gradually, so that we go beyond these limits and attain our stage of perfection and become like the Father. Okay? So all of you are ready for tomorrow? Yes? Okay. And what will your consciousness be? Totally plain intellect. No questions, no doubts, no surprises. Just plain intellect. And be ready to grasp, to take in whatever Baba will give us. Because each sentence Baba will speak will be like a blessing for the children. At that time, don't think, oh, Baba is speaking to 20,000 people. No, at that time have that consciousness, Baba is speaking to me directly. This is for me. Baba is blessing me. Even if it's a question, children, do you think that you are Master Almighty Authorities? So it's a question, but even in that there's a blessing. Yes, I am, so it's a blessing for me. That has to be felt. So tomorrow you will know more in the class before Baba comes, that the Surya, he gives a class. It's very interesting. He talks about what stage to maintain when whilst listening to the Murli. Okay? Om Shanti.